You know, Carlin, everyone has ghost stories, right?
Yeah, and I feel like they're essential for those moments where you're sitting around a campfire with your friends. Wait, Diego, do you have one?
Not really. Do you?
No, and I always feel awkwardly left out. Like, everyone's waiting on me to say something exciting, and then I don't have a story.
Yeah, I mean, that makes two of us, I guess.
Maybe we can go find one. My name's Carlin Bills.
And I'm Diego Viruel.
And this is a Radioactive podcast.
Radioactive is a program through KUOW which trains youth in the skills of radio journalism. Recently, paranormal activity has piqued both of our interests, so we decided to explore deeper into Seattle's mysterious and seemingly underground world of spirits.
I didn't really believe in ghosts coming into this. My idea of ghosts was from what I'd learned from horror movies. Pretty much wisps of air that resemble humans and have violent and vengeful tendencies.
And I've never really believed in the supernatural either, but I like to think that there are things out there that we just don't or can't know about yet. So I try to keep an open mind.
Many people have a ghost story they're waiting to tell. Stories that draw you in, not always because of the story itself, but because of the way it's told.
We spent our Sunday afternoon searching for these stories.
Diego and I knew of one place where we'd be guaranteed to encounter a story or two. So we paid a visit to Spooked in Seattle, a small business in Pioneer Square that gives ghost tours, ghost hunts, and even houses Seattle's only death museum.
If it weren't for the many signs that read Spooked in Seattle plastered across the entrance to the place, it would probably go unnoticed to someone who wasn't looking for it.
But as we began our descent down the steep and dimly lit staircase, we couldn't help but feel like we were being transported somewhere far away from the busy city street we were standing on moments ago. The stairs creaked and groaned as we reached the bottom.
We entered a room filled with coffins, creepy dolls, and paranormal paraphernalia of all kinds.
Our guide for the tour was Ross Allison. He's a full-time ghost hunter. Let's let him explain how he got into this profession.
You know, I got involved in ghost hunting because my mother loves ghost stories. So I grew up listening to these stories and I was very fascinated with it. So it was just that curiosity that got me involved in the paranormal.
However, he wasn't a true believer until on a trip to Alcatraz with members of Advanced Ghost Hunters of Seattle-Tacoma, or a ghost, he experienced something otherworldly. The group spent a night exploring the island's tunnels.
So I get into, you know, this room and it's completely dark, no lights or whatever. So I start taking pictures and I turn around and I want to get an entrance shot. And as I said, the team's filtering in. So to get the best shot, I want to back up and get the widest angle. So I'm backing up and somebody put their hand on my shoulder and stopped me. And so I turned to apologize to the investigator. I backed into the corner. Nobody was there. And I physically felt the pressure of fingers, the weight of a man's hand. And it physically stopped me as I was taking a step backwards.
We then followed Ross back up into the streets of Seattle, where he showed us some haunted locations around Pioneer Square.
One of them was right in front of the iconic Mutual Life Building. It's one of the square's most historic structures.
On September 10th, 1985, Japan's Sankaijuku Dance Company held a performance on the building. The performers from the troupe would paint their skin with rice-based paint to appear stark white and would hang themselves by the ankles from the tops of buildings. Unbeknownst to them, this would be troupe member Yoshiyuku Takada's final act.
Fair warning, the next portion does get graphic. Ross showed the group a video from a Japanese news source about the incident. He then explains what happened.
Now, the gentleman that's hanging right there, the second one in, his rope snaps. And he falls 6 floors to his death. When this performance group would travel from city to city, performing this from their skyrises, they purchased local used rope. Because used rope allowed them to spin more freely. New rope was too tight. So when they purchased that used rope over here at our shipping yard, they tested them all by using sandbags.
Well, little did they know that one of these ropes had actually come in contact with a chemical, which weakened it quite a bit. Very unfortunate for that young man.
We want to take a moment to recognize how tragic this accident was and send our condolences to Takata's friends and family. It was definitely the most unsettling moment of the tour. A few people even laughed nervously as we watched Takata fall.
According to Ross, Takata's ghost still haunts this exact spot.
Now, they say if you happen to visit this area around early September, and you look to the spot where he was once hanging, a lot of people have described seeing a ghostly figure bending and twisting in that area. And this is what we call an anniversary haunting. This is where a spirit will show up on the anniversary of a birth, a wedding, or even of a death. So I do believe it's that young man trying to complete the performance he once started and never got to finish.
Later, Ross led us back to our tour's starting location, where we spoke to some employees about their own paranormal experiences in the shop.
The story we found most interesting was about the ghost of a little girl who resides within the space.
Ross knew about her and decided he'd buy her a doll. This doll had a wind-up key which would play music when turned.
On a few occasions, employees have claimed to have heard the music box playing without explanation.
Well, Ross had been talking about that doll ever since we'd been in here, you know, and I had never heard the music box go off. So I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Kim had finished a tour, and everybody had pretty much left, but there were like 10 people standing here asking questions and stuff, and I was just kind of standing there, and all of a sudden, and the door was still open, the lights are on in there, and we heard the music box start to play. And that was the first time I had actually heard it, other than the recording that we play on the tour. And there was nobody in there. So everybody that was standing here heard it, so we all kind of made a beeline for the door, and by the time we got over the door, it stopped. I mean, it only played for a few seconds. And that's the only time that I've ever actually heard it.
That's creepy.
No way. Shh,
come here.
The rest of the stories told by Spooked in Seattle employees seemed less personal, and we wanted to get a more candid point of view.
It's no wonder that professionals, who make money off of the idea that the paranormal exists, would have a plethora of stories to share.
We wanted to see how many people on the streets of Seattle, people with nothing to gain, have had similar experiences.
Yeah, I was at Fort Warden State Park in Washington, and we went down into one of the abandoned gun bunkers. And my dog started freaking out for no reason. And so I kind of forced him down there, which was just a little messed up. And we kept going, and we started taking pictures, and there was a bunch of like orbs, you know? And then we went further into one of the big gun rooms, and there were shadows running like all over the place. It was crazy. Of course, I was scared, and I had to pick up the dog like Scooby-Doo, and then we hauled ass out of there.
Oh, I've seen a ghost two or three times. Yeah, it was an elderly woman that had lived in that house for a long time, and she had passed away, and it was an older house. And you'd feel and kind of see this thing pass through the hall. And we would be sitting in a room, and we would have friends over, and they would say, "Who just walked through the hall?" And we'd say, "Oh, it was Mrs. Hancock."
So I was with a medium. And she told me that my dad, who had just passed away, misses our coffee dates.
Pike Place Market is notoriously, well, at least for those who work there, a hub of Seattle paranormal activity. So we decided to head down there and check it out.
We started off talking with Mark Brady, the owner of a small secondhand store on the lowest floor of the market. He stood between ceiling-high piles of old knickknacks and interesting items and claimed to have a few ghosts of his own.
And we've got supposedly a 4-year-old little boy that died here, and they get a blue aura. And we've had things like fall off the shelves and stand on end, come in the morning and things are misplaced that would never be out of place and ever, and like just different things. And then we sometimes I like feel like somebody's watching me and stuff. And so, because this supposedly was part of a polio ward back in the early 1910. So a lot of kids didn't make it out of this part of this building.
Mark then recommended we check out Ghost Alley Espresso and see what the workers there had to say.
Once we were there, we queued up on the steps of the small, white, almost ghostly-looking coffee shop and waited for our chance to speak with the barista, Jessica Ness, about her experiences.
So they take people into Kells, and then we go up kind of the back stairs. And before I take people into the chapel, I always kind of have a moment, right? And it's just like, not trying to scare anybody, but people have passed out in there. People randomly have shortness of breath. So, you know, if you see something, say something. So I kind of prepped it like that. I had everyone sitting in front of me, and I'm kind of telling my scariest story, which is about actually Seattle's first serial killer, who was a woman by the name of Dr. Linda Hazard. And as I'm telling my story, a guy in the back jumps and like says, "Hey, who did that?" And so apparently something had dropped on him. And I didn't see any movement. He's like, "Is this part of the tour?" And I was like, "No, it's really not." And I kind of just kept laughing because I'm an awkward laugher anyways. But as I'm continuing my story, I see all of their eyes get big and I hear movement. And apparently they all watched a chair move a good 3 feet behind me.
Next, we ventured to speak with Karen McAleese, the daughter of the woman who owns Kell's Restaurant and Bar.
Kell's opened in 1983 in Seattle's historical Butterworth Building,
which just so happened to be home to Seattle's first mortuary that saw hundreds of bodies pass through its doors in the early 1900s.
Karen shared with us some of her paranormal experiences while growing up in Kells.
Over the years, there's been just things that have happened that you really can't explain. You second guess yourself, you look for logic, you look to see and think, okay, did that really happen? Did I really see that? And I will say, even as far as last night, and I know this is so bizarre, but I swore that somebody was in the kitchen. And I walked by the kitchen door, and I went out, and there was nobody there. And then, you know, you just sort of think, did that really happen? And I just walked back in. I never really said anything. I just sort of, I know what I saw. And it's sort of like one of those things, well, I was sort of busy at the time, and I just thought, well, you know what? How can you explain something like that? And how can you turn around to somebody and say, did you see that?
These experiences have shaped Karen into the woman she is today. And in the process, she has formed some uncommon opinions on death and the paranormal.
You don't really call it death. You call it passing. And so there's some solace to having a lot of celebrations of life here. The Irish call it wakes. And we sort of joke the only difference between an Irish wake and an Irish wedding is one less person. Of course, and now we can say, no, they're all right, they're here, because I believe that when people love each other, they stay around you, and they're here. My dad's here, and, you know, hasn't gone anywhere, and he's still got the shirt and tie on, greeting people at the door and smiling, and I've had people describe him that would have never, like, have never known.
Karen has a deep respect for the spirits in her establishment and asks that others do as well.
It's when people come in here and they joke about it. And I've said, you know, you shouldn't joke about death, or, you know, or not really death, but, you know, ghosts. It's more the spirits. And I think, well, these are people's private lives.
I think what Karen says about calling death passing is pretty profound. As far as I can tell, what Karen is trying to say is that even when people do die, they aren't necessarily gone, because they've left a lasting imprint on our lives. And it's understanding and learning from that person's imprint on us that can help their spirit live on in a way, or pass into another form, even if it isn't a paranormal one.
Karen believes in the spirits. She knows they're there, and after a long time, has learned to accept them for what and who they are. She doesn't seem to be afraid anymore.
And then I'd had different people come up there and tell me, listen, there's a man up there, there was a man, and he's an older man. They asked me, had I seen him before? They described him to me. And yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of people described to me, and there's a little girl, and it's not the little girl that hangs out in the back bar that we know of. It's a wee girl, and she's pretty precocious. She's about 9 years of age, and she's not going anywhere. She's staying, because I've had people go, you know, we want to bring these children to the light. Other people come and visit and want to see the room, and they're paranormal, and they're into that. And I've gone, oh, maybe, you know, I mean, they want to stay.
Although we didn't encounter any ghosts ourselves, we found that many average Seattleites have stories of their own.
To the skeptics, the existence of ghosts may seem ridiculous, easily explained, or just something entertainment industries use to make money.
However, what we've learned throughout this exploration is that it's surprisingly easy to find normal people all over the place who believe in the existence of the paranormal, or have experienced it at some point. Some of these people, like Ross, have made a career out of this belief, but others just work in local coffee shops or walk the streets of Seattle, perhaps alongside a ghost.
Thanks to Ross Allison, Mark Brady, Karen McAleese, Jessica Ness, and everyone else who shared a story for this podcast.
Special thanks to our editor, Mary Heisey, our podcast mentor, Paul Kiefer, as well as the entire Radioactive crew.
Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at KUOW Radioactive and on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media.
Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever else you download your podcasts.